Open up to Romans. Romans chapter 10. I'm not going to share anything new at all today, but what I am going to do is share something you've heard before, but from a different perspective, and I'm going to give to you I'm going to give it to you the way that God gave it to me. Well, I guess that's smart, isn't it? For me to give it to you the way God gave it to me. If you want titles, I'll just give you the title now, which is pretty self-explanatory, but then we'll go through and look in the Word a little bit. The title is Revelation plus Activation equals Manifestation. Revelation plus Activation equals Manifestation. Very simple. In a church service, where truth is being taught, everyone in that service receives revelation. You say, well, how do you know that? Because if you are there and you are hearing it, you're receiving it. You understand what I'm saying? Like every one of you in here right now, you're hearing my words. And if we were in an arena, and there were 50,000 people in that arena, all 50,000 people would be receiving revelation as I would be speaking and as I would be sharing things from the Word of God. However, just because people have received revelation does not mean their life is changing. You see, God's Word is revelation. And I'm not talking about the last book of the Bible. I'm talking about the whole book. God's Word is revelation. And the only reason that that people don't see change in their life is because the revelation does not become real. There is a difference between what is revealed and what is real. There's a major difference between the two. Just because something has been revealed does not mean that it is real. It only becomes real when it's a part of your life. And for a lot of Christians, you know, we talk about, maybe you've heard things like this. You know, well, we're walking in revelation knowledge. Maybe you are, and maybe you aren't. You may have revelation knowledge, but that does not mean that you're walking in revelation knowledge. Two different things. See, it's one thing. Okay, let me give you a very simplified example. I know, I could tell you, I could, you know, pass these things out to all of you. I could pass out two alkaline D batteries and one flashlight to every person in this room. And you would have that in your hand and you would be thinking, my oh my, what is this? And I would explain to you what it is. I would say, you are holding in your hands the ability to produce light. Those two little round things I gave you are called batteries. The long cylindrical thing I gave you is called a flashlight. If you put the batteries in the flashlight and push the button, you will have light. Now that's the revelation, okay? But if you do not put the batteries in the flashlight and push the button, will you have light? No. If you want the manifestation, there has to be activation on the revelation. You with me? The revelation is batteries in flashlight with pushed button equals light. So if you act upon that revelation, you will have light in a dark room. Or even in a light room, you're going to have light. It's the same thing with the Word of God. You can have a whole room full of people and you can give to them revelation from God's Word, but it does not mean that it has become real to them unless they do something to cause it to be a part of their life. Revelation without activation equals no manifestation. Same principle. That's why a lot of what I'm sharing with you right now, this is why a lot of Christians are not seeing things happen in their life that they see in the Word. Well, I turn to my Bible and I see God said this and God promised this and here's a blessing there and all these things are in the Word of God. But what I don't understand is how come these things aren't real in my life? Or I don't understand how come these things aren't happening in my life? Well, first off, is it God's will for these things to be a part of your life? Well, obviously, yes, if it's in His Word. Therefore, if it's in His Word, it's His desire for what is in His Word to be a part of your life. He doesn't say, here are my promises, here's my word, here's my truth, but I only want it playing a role in some people's life. And other folks, you know, they're just going to have to sit around and wonder, well, how come? That's not the way it works. If God has declared it in His Word, and His Word is truth, then He wants that to be a part of every person's life. Now, you're in Romans chapter 10. Look at verses 9 and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What is that? Revelation, is it not? That is revelation. Romans 10, 9 and 10 is revelation. But now, how does that become a reality in your life? See, if I'm in a room full of 5,000 lost people and I read that verse to them, they have all received the revelation, but it does not mean they have experienced the manifestation of the salvation until there's activation on the revelation. Say that 10 times fast. You see what I'm saying? So therefore, in a room full, 5,000 lost people, I've given them the revelation, but until they act on that revelation, salvation does not become real in their lives. So what is the activation? We have the revelation, but what is the activation? Well, he tells you right here, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That not only is the revelation, but it is the instruction of the activation. So therefore, once I have received that revelation, if I act upon that revelation and believe and confess, the manifestation is I become saved. Now, how many of you had that apply to your life? You saw that, it happened to you. You got the revelation, Romans 10, 9 and 10, but then you activated on it, and it became a reality. See, you can sit in service after service after service, and you can hear Romans 10, 9 and 10, and you're constantly getting that revelation over and over and over and over again. But until the day you act on that revelation, you never receive the manifestation of your salvation. So the revelation is with you all the time. And for some people, you know, you grow up in a church that's telling you about Jesus every Sunday. You're living with the revelation, but it has never become real. It's only revealed. It is not real. Remember on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he preached, and some of the people hearing him said, "What must we do to be saved?" Remember that? They had been hearing all this revelation, but they still did not know the revelation of how to be saved. Then Peter gave to them the revelation on how to be saved. He said, you know, believe on Jesus and so forth and you'll be saved and all that. You know, you've read the story. What did they do? They acted then on that revelation, and the Bible says, you know, 5,000 people get born again. That means thousands of people that day acted upon the revelation, and then they experienced the manifestation of what was revealed to them. Now, this is just one example. Turn over to Psalm chapter 8. There's so many of these in Scripture, but we're just going to look at a very few of them. In Psalm chapter 8, just one verse, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now, when Jesus quoted from this verse, he said, you know, out of the mouth of babes thou hast ordained praise, okay? Now, we're not going to go into this verse in tremendous detail. I mean, there are two teaching tape series out there that you can get on praise and worship that break this down in a whole lot more detail. So I'm just going to encapsulate it for you. The essence of this is, when we become born again, God has ordained that through our praise and worship, we have the ability to impact what the enemy is doing in our lives. When it talks about stilling the avenger, it's describing in part how that our praise and worship can begin to guard us from the impact of his lies. Okay? Now, there's a whole lot more in this that we could go into, but we're just not going to take the time today to do it. You can get those other series on praise and worship. Now, the revelation is Psalm 8:2. So the revelation, simplified, could be this. When you worship God, you interfere with the plans of the enemy to deceive you through his lies. Okay? Now that's, again, simplified, very simplified. Okay, the revelation is this. You worship and you interfere with the enemy's plans. Now let me ask you a question. Oh, by the way, this is not simply talking about a worship service, like what you do when you come together in church. This is talking about you worship him beyond church. There is worship in your life. It is a lifestyle. Okay, now, let me ask you this. How many people have you encountered that seem to be going through the same problems over and over again, and they don't know why? Okay? There's something happening, and it's not from God. The enemy is attacking. You ever been there where you've seen people, they say, I just don't understand how come, and then, but you can see clearly what's happening. This is an attack of the enemy, and it's not just you, other people can too. But it's like this person just can't seem to get a hold of it. And it's like blinders have put it in front of their eyes, whatever it is. Now, I've encountered people like that. And I will share with them, if you will take some time, and just, I don't know how much time this is going to take, but if you will give yourself over to times of private worship at home, just get alone somehow and begin to worship him, this thing's going to begin to clear up. Because that's the revelation. Are you with me? Now, you know what? I can't begin to tell you how many times when I share this with people, they don't do it. It's like, I need a solution, Pastor. I need this thing dealt with in my life. I've got to have some relief. I just don't know what to do. Well, I shared with you about worship. Yeah, but that's not working. What? Hold on. Hold on. You're operating from a different revelation than I am. My revelation says it works. But somehow you have laid hold to a different revelation that says it doesn't work. Otherwise, you wouldn't be telling me, I tried that and it doesn't work. My revelation from God's Word says it does work. It's up to you to activate it so it will work. But I did that for 3 days and nothing happened. Well, maybe the problem is a whole lot worse than what you thought. My revelation cannot fail. This word right here. See, that's the thing about it. It's not what I preach. It's the revelation from God to me and to the body of Christ and to the world. Therefore, since this is truth, I can take that revelation and know that maybe Satan has latched on to me harder than what I know, or maybe he set up a camp and his tent posts go a whole lot deeper than what I've recognized. You know, I don't know. But I do know this. The revelation is, if I will worship, it is going to have an impact on what he's been doing. So maybe I needed to go a fourth day instead of stopping at 3 days and then come back and complain and say it doesn't work. Because the revelation says it will work. But until I begin to activate that revelation, I will not have the manifestation of what this word says. Are you following what I'm saying in this? So therefore, if I make a decision that I am going to activate that revelation in my life, I will begin to praise Him and I will begin to worship Him. And if after the first day I'm not getting relief, I will continue to praise and I will continue to worship. And if after the second day I'm not getting relief, I will continue to praise and I will continue to worship, because I know this. The revelation here cannot be wrong. The revelation I get elsewhere probably will be wrong. But this revelation cannot be wrong. Therefore, when I activate this in my life, it will become a manifestation. It's not a maybe it will. It's a guaranteed. It will work because this is something from God. Now, let me show you another one. Turn over to Acts chapter 1. See, this kind of a message today could really mess around with some people's theology. And it's not because we're trying to meddle. We're just taking a look at what God's Word has said. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Okay. What is the revelation? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That is the revelation, is it not? Okay. Therefore, what is the manifestation? The manifestation is power. What is the activation? Me allowing myself to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The revelation, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The activation, Holy Ghost come upon me. Okay. The manifestation then is the power. Now, what if somebody tells you that you don't need this? What if somebody tells you that this is not for today? Where did they get that revelation? And here's the thing about it. Wherever they got that revelation, they're acting on it. And what's the manifestation? No power. Very simple. Here's the Word. This is God's Word. This is God's revelation. Now you can argue with me till you're blue in the face. You can throw out your doctrines. You can come at me with everything you've heard from your church, their church, and everybody else's church. But you are not going to change what God has established in His Word. God has established in His Word, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But that was for the early church, based on what revelation? But that was just for the apostles, based on what revelation? Based on what revelation? Because if that revelation doesn't come from God's Word, why should I act on it? But the revelation is, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Therefore, if I do something that prohibits the Holy Ghost from coming upon me, is there that power? The power he's talking about in that verse, is it there if I refuse to allow the Holy Ghost to come upon me? It can't be. Well, Brother Martin, that's not how we teach it in our church. Where's your revelation? What is the revelation that you're using to teach in your church? The revelation in God's Word is, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the revelation. Now, if you have a Christian who says, I just don't understand how come it is that I don't have any power. What's the Word? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I mean, we could go off on this one for a long time. But again, this is the revelation, the activation. Remember what John was talking about, John the Baptist. He made the statement, there's somebody coming after me. I'm not even worthy to tie this guy's shoes. But he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Who baptizes you with the Holy Ghost and fire? Jesus. Okay? That's the revelation. All right? Therefore, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, how can He baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire? So you must first have a relationship with Jesus, and then you ask Jesus to do what John prophesied that Jesus would do. baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. So therefore, I say, Jesus, I love you. I thank you that you responded to my acting upon Romans 10, 9, and 10. But now I want to act upon what this fellow John said. He said you would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. And you said we shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Jesus, I want that to be a manifested reality in my life. Therefore, Jesus, I act upon this and ask you to baptize me with the Holy Ghost and power. And Holy Ghost, I know you're going to give me the power after that you have come upon me. So Jesus, baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fire. And Holy Ghost, give me this power. Now that's pretty simplified. But can you see the process? So why is it then people in the body of Christ teach otherwise? It is because they are acting upon a revelation that cannot be substantiated with God's Word. Because the revelation in God's Word works if you act on it. So therefore, the only way it won't work is if you don't act on it. Very simple. Very simple. Well, Brother Martin, I'm very uncomfortable with this message. I don't know why. Why would you be uncomfortable with something that God's revealing to you? Would you like me to answer that question? Pride. That's really what it comes down to.
You expect me to acknowledge that I have been wrong in what I have believed all these years? It's up to you.
Here's the revelation. Without acting upon it, it does not become a manifestation. Very cut and dry. Let's look at another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. That's the revelation. What is the activation? You pray in tongues. What is the manifestation? You won't be speaking unto God, unto men, but you'll be speaking unto God and you'll be praying mysteries. That's the manifestation. But until you activate the revelation, verse 2 is not a reality in your life. It is not a manifest reality. Well, I can pray those things. How can you pray them if you don't know them? Verse 2, 4, He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. You've got two revelations here, but let's just focus on the first one. What's the revelation? Pray in tongues, you're edified. What's the activation? Praying in tongues. What's the manifestation? You're edified. Very simple. Very simple. But if you don't activate the revelation, there's no manifestation of the edification. Verse 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What's the revelation? I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying. What's the activation? I pray in tongues. What's the manifestation? My spirit is praying. Very simple. But what if I don't do that? Again, please, hang with me on this. Based upon the revelation in God's Word, not upon what we've heard preached and taught all of our lives, based upon the manifestation of the revelation in God's Word. Based upon that. Let's take our traditions and our doctrines and put them over here on the shelf for a while and let's just look at the revelation in God's Word. What is the revelation? The revelation is this. You pray in tongues, your spirit is praying.
Oh, but Brother Martin, I don't need to pray in tongues for my spirit to pray. I can just pray. You know, oh God, help Susie, help me. And my spirit is praying. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. What's the revelation? What's the revelation? What is the revelation? When you pray in tongues, your spirit is praying. That's the revelation. See, when you pray with the understanding, do you understand that is not your spirit praying, that is your soul praying.
Your soul may have received understanding or something from your spirit about what to pray, but that's not your spirit praying, that is your soul praying. Right now, we are in communication on a soulish level. I am not communicating to you on a spiritual level. I'm communicating to you on a soul level. Whether or not you let it go past the soul and be sown into your spirit is a whole different story whatsoever. I'm giving you revelation in this message. If you don't act on the revelation, you don't get the manifestation of the revelation. Now, God says, the revelation in His Word, not my traditions, His Word, the revelation is this: I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying. That's the revelation.
Amen.
So very simple. I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, my soul, my understanding is unfruitful. See, that should tell you right there what's happening when you pray at the understanding. It's a soulish realm. It doesn't mean you're not having an impact, and it doesn't mean you're not doing anything or accomplishing anything. It doesn't mean you're not doing any good when you pray with the understanding. That's not what this verse is saying. It's just helping you to understand what's happening when you do both. When you pray with the understanding, it's a soulish realm prayer. It's coming out of the realm of your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and so forth. But when you pray in tongues, it's coming out of the realm of the Spirit. Your spirit is praying. That's what God's trying to get across to us. There are two ways to pray. If you want to simplify it, pray with the understanding. It's coming from the realm of the soul, and you're still doing good things. It's not wrong to do that. You should do that. Paul even says so. I'll pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding. But when I pray with the Spirit, my spirit is praying.
Yeah.
See, it's a whole different thing. So the revelation is pray in the Spirit, pray with tongues, and your spirit is praying. The activation is to pray in tongues. The manifestation, your spirit is then praying when you do that. Now let's look at another one. Turn over to 1 Peter. See, you know, really, this is an extremely simple message. Problem is, a lot of people, they struggle with this. You know why? It's because in the body of Christ, really, Satan's done a good job in deceiving people into believing that as long as they believe it, meaning as long as they believe the revelation, it will become a manifestation. But it does not become a manifestation if all you do is believe it. You have to act on the revelation. If you do not, okay, think of it like this. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You have to act on that. Just because you believe it doesn't mean you're born again. You have to act on Romans 10, 9, and 10. Or, see, I grew up... Okay, here, figure this logic out. It makes no sense. I grew up, I mean, from, you know, infancy, I grew up hearing, you must be born again. You must be, Romans 10, 9, and 10. You must be born again. I heard this consistently in my life growing up. And praise God for it. And if somebody were to ask me, you know, 10, 12 years old, whatever, somebody would have asked me, how does a person get born again? I could have quoted Romans 10, 9, and 10. But I had never acted on it. I believed it. I believed that verse, those passages. I believed it. But I had never acted on it. Therefore, it had never manifested in my life. So just because I believed it didn't mean it was working. I had to activate the revelation to receive the manifestation of being born again. That's just where it starts. Everything in Scripture. Look here, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Here's the revelation. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Now look at this revelation. By whose stripes you were healed. There's revelation. You see that? Okay. What's the activation? If you could see what I am seeing. I've never seen people read their Bible so intently in all my life. I don't know, Brother Martin. I see the revelation, but what's the activation? Gosh, can you help me? I sure can. Turn back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're not going to walk through this entire chapter. I'm just going to point out some highlights. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. What's it say? The sower soweth the word. Okay? Now, let's change that for the sake of this teaching. The sower soweth the revelation. The sower soweth the revelation. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, there's the revelation, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, 60, some 100. How do you bring forth fruit? You ever planted anything in your life, like a just fruit tree, flowers, whatever? You ever planted anything? Well, how many of you, let's say you're over at a friend's house, and here it is, August, and you know in their, they have a big backyard, and out in their backyard, they have a big, you know, like 30-foot by 50-foot section. It's all dirt, no grass, all dirt. And you're both standing out there on the porch, looking at the yard, and you see that big square section out there, 30 by 50. And your friend says, you know, I just, that stupid corn, those stupid tomatoes, and those stupid cucumbers, they never came up. We don't have one thing out there in that stupid garden. And you ask, well, did you ever plant anything? And they look at you and they say, well, no, why? And you say, well, that's stupid. Can you see how dumb that would be? What do you mean, plant anything? I plowed up the ground, did I not? I heard the revelation, did I not? But you've got to sow it. You've got to sow what it is you want. Did you want tomatoes? Well, you should have sown the tomato seed. Did you want watermelon? You should have sown the watermelon seed. Did you want cucumbers? Should have sown the... Did you want corn? Do you follow me? You want green beans? Yes. All right. Well, then you take the green bean seeds and you sow the green beans and get green beans. Very simple. Likewise, the sower sows the revelation. The revelation is this. By his stripes, you were healed. What is the activation? Sowing the revelation into your life. If you do not sow, you do not get the 30, 60, or 100 fold. See that 30, 60, 100 fold? He's not talking about money. What he's talking about is the word. The sower sows the word. Not the sower sows his love offering or his faith seed. The sower sows the word. The word. Or the revelation. The sower sows the revelation. The sower sows the revelation. The sower sows the revelation. By his stripes you were healed. The sower sows the revelation. By your stripes, Jesus, I was healed. Now I'm activating the revelation. He says, these are they which are sown on good ground. They hear it, they receive it, and they bring forth fruit. You can't bring forth the fruit unless you've been acting on the revelation. I hear, like everybody else, when you read that passage, they all heard. I hear and I receive, but instead of just hearing and receiving and acknowledging the revelation, I turn around and activate the revelation by sowing the revelation into my life. Here's an example of how it doesn't happen. I stand here, I give you this teaching. You leave and do nothing with it. Where is my healing? The revelation is in this message today. By his stripes you were healed, or whatever you can find in the Word of God. By his stripes you were healed. That's the revelation. The activation is sowing that word or that revelation into your life. Now look in verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. All right, let me read to you a paraphrase of this verse relative to this message today. Take heed what ye activate. With what measure ye activate, it shall be manifested to you, and unto you that activate shall more be manifested. Can you see the correlation in this? This is why Christians, they see the Bible, they read the Bible, they get the revelation, they hear it preached, they hear it taught, and they say, praise God, what a revelation. I've even had people ask me now and then, you know, Brother Martin, you have any new revelation? You mean within the confines of the Bible or something outside the Bible? You may think that sounds kind of goofy, but you need to understand there are churches out there where the ministers are preaching and teaching things that do not come from God's Word, and they will tell you, we have gotten new revelation from the Lord. You're not going to find this in Scripture. However, this is what God wants us to know. Now, Christians here, they acknowledge that it's true. They say they believe it. It is a revelation that they have received. But at this point, all it is revealed. It is not real. It doesn't become real until you activate that revelation. And the more, like what he's talking right here, the more that you activate that revelation, or as he put it, so the word, the more that you activate that revelation, the closer you're going to get to the manifestation. All right, turn over to Mark chapter 11. One verse. Verse 23, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." And some people have perverted this to make it sound like that all you have to do is say something enough and you're going to get it. No, this verse 23 is relative to the Word of God. It is not relative to whatever you think. Jesus went about preaching and teaching the kingdom principles. He made the statement that the sower sows the word. Therefore, verse 23 is going to be based upon the truth that Jesus has already established. Meaning, you cannot take verse 23 and apply it to just any old thing in your life and think that God has to act upon it on your behalf to make it happen. Verse 23 is relative to the things that God has said in His word within the structure of what Jesus has been teaching. He says, "I say unto you, whatsoever you say, whosoever of you say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Do you think Jesus would be telling you to say things that don't line up with the Word? Absolutely not. Therefore, his instructions here are relative to the revelation, not what you think you should have. Of course, if you think you should have what's in the revelation, that's a whole different story. Let me give you a paraphrase of Mark 11:23. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall activate the revelation about anything he is facing, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he activates shall come to pass, he shall see the manifestation of his activation." Can you see this? Okay, now, this takes us back into why it is a lot of Christians are not seeing the things of God happen in their life. They have the revelation, and they believe it. That's not the question. You know, we've heard so many times about, well, all you have to do is believe the Word and see it happen. That's not true. Believing is the start. Well, actually, hearing is the start, but believing it is the start. Just like what Jesus said right here in this 23rd verse, if you believe it, and then you speak it, and you don't doubt, then you're going to eventually have the thing that you're saying. Okay, now, let's go back to Romans 10, 9 and 10. I believed it, did I not? I told you when I was younger, I believed it. I believed it. There was no question about that. But it wasn't until later on that I acted upon that revelation. And the moment that I did, because I was believing in my heart, I received the manifestation of that which I was speaking. That which I was activating. So I activated salvation into my life because I responded to the revelation and I ended up with the manifestation. Likewise, talking about the healing, or we could talk about peace, or we could talk about your finances, all kinds of things. The revelation is what God has said in His Word. The activation is you responding to what He has said and doing it. The manifestation eventually will come. Now please, if you leave here and think that I'm talking about overnight, instantaneous, add water, stir, pop it in the microwave, and you know, 2 minutes later you've got what you need, I am not implying that at all. Because if there are strongholds in our life, okay, remember, here's a story, simple. Remember the story about how the Jesus, Peter, James, and John, the Mount of Transfiguration, come down the mount, and there are the other disciples, and they're trying to cast the devil out of this man's son. And Jesus comes along, and boom, just like that, casts this devil out. Well, later they asked Jesus, how come we couldn't do it? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Now remember, prior to this story, they had already been out casting out devils and getting people healed and all this other. And all of a sudden, They came across something that they'd already been doing, but now they couldn't do it. And they couldn't understand why. And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. And he went on to explain to them that you deal with that unbelief through prayer and fasting. Okay, likewise for us. There's a revelation in that. You deal with unbelief through prayer and fasting. That's the revelation. What is the activation? Prayer and fasting. What is the manifestation? Things happen. You see the results. Very simple process. But you know what? It becomes very complicated in the lives of Christians because this very simple formula forces us to do something. In other words, it's not just a matter of us believing it. It's a matter of us acting on that which we believe. When you begin acting upon that which you believe, you begin to see the manifestation of the promise because God can't lie. So therefore, when promises aren't manifesting in our lives, regardless of what they would be, it isn't God's fault. It isn't that he's saying, I don't want you to have it. There's something else here involved. Well, but Brother Martin, I don't know what that something else is. In other words, it's a mystery to you. Yes, it's a mystery to me. And 1 Corinthians 14:2 says what? Pray in tongues? You're praying mysteries. You're dealing with the issues. See what I'm saying? Oh, but Brother Martin, here's what I would rather do. I would rather come up here to this pretty little prayer line and have you lay hands on me and pray and change it and cause the manifestation to happen in my life. You know what? That happens a whole lot less than what some people would like to think. Somebody was talking to Kenneth Hagin one time. And you know, there were a lot of powerful things that happened through his ministry. And they said, you know, you prayed for X number of people. But you always talk about, you know, the ones that got their healing. You never talk about the ones where they didn't get their healing. And he responded something along the lines of, why would I want to stand up and discourage people by telling them when it didn't happen? I want to encourage them by telling them when it did happen. It helps them in the area of their faith. Same thing here. You know, I've prayed for people. Powerful things have happened. We've seen people healed of tremendous things, cancers, all kinds of stuff. But then there are other people I've prayed for where the healing did not manifest in their body. Well, what do we do? You want me to stand up here and go through a whole list? Now, folks, last week we prayed for this. Ain't one thing happened. But if you want prayer, come on up. Well, you're going to be really encouraged to come up, aren't you? What about Jesus? Worked for him every time, Brother Martin. Really? You're sure about that? Oh, yeah, Brother Martin, that's Jesus. Why, everywhere he went, everything happened. You're sure about that, are you? What about in his own hometown? Doesn't the Bible say something about he couldn't do any great things there because of their
unbelief?
Oh, he got a few sick people healed. What was his reaction to that? Did he shake the dust off his feet and go on? No, it says he went about the villages doing what? Teaching. What was he teaching them? Things of the kingdom. Okay. Now, what's happening today? Teaching. If you don't apply what you're hearing today, it applies to me too, guys. It's not, you know, I'm no different than anybody else. If we do not apply what we're hearing today, meaning it's not just a matter that you've heard it, that it's been revealed to you. It's not just a matter that we believe it. If we do not activate the revelation, we really don't have much of a need to expect a manifestation. And this is one of the things, one of the areas, I guess, where I really take issue with a lot of the faith teaching that's out there. Sometimes it comes across All you have to do is believe it. No, that is not all Jesus taught. He did teach about believing it, but he also talked about acting upon it. Let me ask you a question. Just think about this for a minute. Remember the story of the lady with the issue of blood? Do you think that out of that multitude of people, she was the only one that had a physical condition who needed a healing for something? Do you think she was the only one? And the Bible makes it very clear that people were pressing in on Jesus and they were touching him. People all over were touching him. And the thing is, that lady did not even touch him. All she touched was the hem of his garment. That's all she touched. And it doesn't even say she grabbed hold of it. She may have just touched it. And yet, man, he stops. And he says, who touched me? What was her revelation? If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And that was her revelation. But what if she had never acted on it? But she acted on the revelation, she touched the hem, and she got the manifestation. What was the difference between her and all the other people in that crowd? Listen, you can't get a crowd, 400 or 500 people, and not have somebody with something wrong in their body. Even if it's just a little snivelly, runny nose or something. And the kind of crowds that he attracted, there had to have been people in that crowd that had a physical condition. And remember the man that Jesus healed one time? He's in there ministering to the whole bunch in that house. It said the place was packed. And it says the power of God was there to heal them all. Only one person got a healing that day. Only one. But in other cases, it talks about how that everybody that came to him got healed. What's the difference? The difference is they all had revelation, but only some of them acted upon that revelation. They did not believe the fullness of the revelation. So they didn't even act on it. But those that acted on the revelation, they acted on it because they believed it. See, it wasn't just a matter of believing it. They acted upon that revelation and they received the manifestation of the thing that they wanted. And it's the same thing today. It's no different. If we do not act on the revelation, we should not expect the manifestation. But instead, we try to ride the coattails of preachers and other Christians. And we want them to activate something for us. Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. There are times that happens. And I praise the Lord for that. And sometimes those folks are acting on revelation. Revelation over there in Mark. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's the word of God. I believe it. I'm going to act on it. I'll get in that prayer line and have the preacher lay hands on me. And when that happens, I shall receive my healing. I shall recover. Do you see what I'm saying? But if we don't act on the revelation... So this again answers the question as to why so many Christians are not seeing things happen in their lives. It's because they are not activating the revelation that they have received. I don't know what my calling is. God does. Spend time in prayer. Let Him open that mystery to you. Well, I just don't understand. All right, what's a revelation in Scripture that deals with this issue? Act on it. But I just can't figure out what's the revelation in Scripture that deals with this issue. Act on it. See, that's the thing about it, guys. God's Word cannot fail. We can blow it. We can mess up. But God's Word cannot fail. When you act on it, just like, you know, you tell somebody you want a hole dug 30 feet deep, there's a good chance they're not going to get it dug all in one day. Especially if you just give them a little bitty shovel. I want a hole 30 feet deep, 10 feet wide, 12 feet long. It's going to take them more than just one day. But if they keep digging, you know what they're going to end up with, don't you? 30 feet deep, 10 feet wide, 12 feet long. They're going to end up with the hole. Likewise, you keep acting on the revelation, and you're going to keep digging out whatever it is that's hindering your walk with God. Whatever it is that's in the way. You keep acting on the revelation, acting on God's Word, acting on what you believe, manifestation will come. It might be weeks, days, months, might be years, I don't know. But I know this God's Word can't fail. He can't lie. And I tell you what, if ever there was anything that you could hold on to in your life, and that is, it is impossible for God to lie. So, based on that, I know if I do what He's told me to do, I can expect results. Praise God.